Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode number 12 of Chilled and Killed, a true crime podcast where we discuss a crime over a glass of wine or two. We're your hosts, Sam
and Amanda.
And this week we are discussing a story about...
Well, haha, Sam doesn't know.
Tricky, tricky.
We're going to do something new here. Today we're talking about Mytrese Richardson. And for this week's wine, we have Red Leopard.
This wine, super fun story. One of our listeners.
And one of our personal friends.
Very close friends. Caitlin. She actually gave this wine to us, so we are going to try it out. And, okay, so Panda, I think I decided that I don't really like listeners. We're going to call our listeners our peoples.
Okay. So I like it.
One of our peoples.
One of our peoples gave us this bottle. So, all right, let's
crack her open.
Yeah. Okay, are you ready? This is the first time. I bought a very, I bought a wine opener, a cork opener for the studio, so it's going to stay in here, but also it's like old school, and I really only ever freaking use the electric one, but it's noisy when we're recording, so I'm trying to get like just the old school cork screw looking one. So let's see how this goes.
You should see what I'm seeing right now. This is like such a panda image. It is a wine bottle that is Red Leopard, which panda is all about leopard, with a hot pink wine opener.
It's literally like my two favorite things in life.
Yeah.
Oh, not like we we didn't mention that not only is the wine called Red Leopard, but the bottle itself
is a Red Leopard.
It's
label.
Yes, it's Red Leopard print and it's velvet.
Oh, yes. Such a panda image right
now. Am I doing this right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you flip the thing down. Yep.
One first and then this one. Okay. I go all the way to the bottom one first, right? And then I come up.
Yes.
And then,
okay. Yeah.
You'd think I'd know how to open a bottle of wine by now, but, like...
We still got work to do.
I also buy so many screw top ones.
I feel like, you know, that is the trend now, and I'm not a fan of it.
It loses a little something.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Okay. And then...
Yep. She's got it. And
then we reset.
Yep.
And then... Ready?
Let's hear the pop.
Well, you say so then I say no.
There we go. Yeah, like, okay, you have a screw top and it just sounds pathetic.
Uh-huh. It's a little too warm, so we're doing it with some whiskey stones. Trying to bring it the proper temp.
Me too. So this is actually our episode again, where we are back together, only for one episode because now I'm going up to Maine and now we have to do the remote recording again, so it's kind of shitty, but at least we get one episode back in.
True.
Okay, are we ready?
No.
So, what?
I said no, let me put the bottle down. Okay.
So, cheers.
Cheers.
Motherfucking cheers to one last episode together for the next probably 3 months.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers to that. You probably heard my gulp, but okay, what do you think?
I think it has a very nice flavor. I think that it's kind of mild.
Yeah. It's very light on the tongue.
Yeah.
For a red. I really like it, actually.
Yeah, me too.
It's like... I kind of get, like, a brown sugary kind of flavor to it, but also with, I don't know, it's not, like, a raspberry. It's kind of like a mix of a plum, maybe?
Maybe, but it's not that deep either, I don't think. It's like maybe like a light red berry, like maybe?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what this flavor is, but it's really good. Mm-hmm. I think it's much more complex than we're used to. Like, it's not just like one specific flavor.
Guess what? We got the trusty Google to help us out. Red Leopard.
I really like it.
Red Blend. Oh, it's a red blend, so I guess we should say that. Because, you know.
Yeah. And that's really probably like why we're saying, oh, yeah, there's not that many flavors that just stand out because it's a mix of all of them.
Yep.
Anyway, Caitlin, you did a good job.
I appreciate you and I love you, and it's so good.
Love you so much.
Yes.
You picked a good wine. It spoke to Panda.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it. I'll let you.
Yeah. All right. Is that an airplane?
Yeah.
Wow. Guys, we have the window open because it's toasty in here. And that's a loud airplane. Okay, so it says, a medium-bodied wine that has fresh red fruit. So I called the red fruit.
And you called the medium-bodied.
Yeah, look at me going.
Look, we're learning things.
Okay, and then baking spice, which I still have yet to figure out what the hell that actually means.
Okay.
Is that nutmeg or pepper?
I don't know. But I kind of get that because I feel like it's like a brown sugar mixed with like a nutmeg. I see what they mean by like a kitchen spice. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of fall.
Yeah. I like it a lot though.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also says, baking spice and pepper. They always say pepper. I'd never get the pepper.
Me either.
And I don't know what pepper they ever mean. Do they mean green pepper, bell pepper, black pepper, corn? Like what?
I don't know.
And then, are you ready? Followed by subtle notes of toast.
Now, how are you supposed to taste that?
I don't know.
Let me see if I get some toast in here.
No. Because I don't really know what I'm taste, like what that would.
Like a burnt piece of toast.
Right.
I don't know.
White bread does not have a whole lot of flavor. When you toast it, it still tastes like nothing. It's just crunchy bread.
Is it like a toasted butternut? Like, that's a little bit more.
Yeah, but I don't taste that.
No, I don't know.
But it does say that it pairs well with grilled chicken or pasta, and it's the perfect wine for any occasion. And I think I agree. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I could see you, like, pulling this out for whatever. Like,
yeah.
Right now it's good, and it's...
It's a good fire-sitting wine.
Good fire-sitting wine. Good fall-time wine.
Yeah.
I could even see this, like, make it a little bit more chilled. This would be even a good sangria wine.
Ooh, you're speaking to me.
Right? Because you get that spice into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Some apples.
Some apples.
Oh, this would be so good as, like, a caramel sangria.
Oh, stop. Okay, I know what we're doing this.
Caitlin, next. You need to buy us another bottle.
And then you can come drink the sangria
with us. We'll make the sangria. You provide the wine.
Perfect. I mean, I'm not really sure that's a fair trade-off. But no, it's like...
not. We'll buy the wine. We'll make the sangria. You still get in.
Yeah, just come enjoy us. Anyway, so, yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, we kind of covered it all with that. Do you think we should deep dive into it? Or
nah.
No, because I don't think there's much more to deep dive. Like, yeah, no. That was... It was pretty easy wine, and it tastes damn good.
It's a little, like, a mild sweetness. That's the only thing I would add. It's not a dry wine.
No. No. Well, here's... I think you and I need to actually figure out what actually is dry now, and what we don't find dry, but is still technically dry.
Oh, good point. I think it's still, like, on the sweeter side, because you don't have any sort of after...
So hold on. I found another website. This one gives a slightly different description. So just for shits and giggles, let me tell you this one. So this one says that this is a big, bold red.
I wouldn't call it bold.
I agree. This is not that bold, but says that it is made from a majority of Cabernet Sauvignon, which may be why we both like this. But I also think that if that's the case,
it's a milder Cab Sauv.
Yeah. It's powerfully concentrated with tobacco aromas, boulder-sized tannins, and cherry-like fruitness. And then ancillary, which I'm not really quite sure what that word means, but I think based on context, it would mean like secondary notes. Okay. So ancillary sparks of cedar and sage contribute intrigue.
I think the first description matched it more.
Agree. Yep. So if you're looking up this, yeah.
Why is it that most descriptions have to say that their wines are bold and big of personality? We've had like 3 wines now that have all had that description and we're like, no, you're really not. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry to break it to you.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I don't know what bold means.
I would say this is... Medium. I wouldn't say bold. I would say heavy in its flavors.
No, it's not even... I wouldn't use the word heavy.
It's rich in its... Mm-hmm. No, not... would you say rich?
Yeah. It's like a luxurious taste, if
complex
you will.
Complex in its flavors.
Yeah. Now, let me smell it again, because it says concentrated tobacco aromas.
No.
I don't get any of that.
No.
Not a single hint. So, I don't know.
Well, it's delicious.
It's so good. But, yeah. Anyway. All right. So, let's get into it. I have a little bit more. So, today, we're going to be doing something a little different. Obviously, in the beginning, you heard Sam... I'm kind of tripped up there.
Yeah, I'm not aware of what we're doing. Right. I'm aware of what we're doing tonight. I have no idea anything about this case.
Right, which is different because normally we both research, we both script it up, and we go back and forth with our conversation, but we're not doing that today. So we're going to make this a little bit more of like a conversation thing where I'm telling her about this. So it's more like a best friend telling their, you know, true crime stories to each other. We're just looking to have a little bit more of a casual stroll at this. So let's
see.
Hopefully, you know, what we need you guys to do is let us know your feedback on this. So when we do it, if you like it, that's great. If you don't like it, I also would like to know that.
Yeah, absolutely. The reason, okay, we'll give you a little bit of a backstory as to why we're trying this. So before most every podcast Panda and I have been recording lately, honestly, not even lately, since we've started, we have this, I would call it a bad habit, where we discuss the entire everything, like the nitty gritty, we talk about our opinions about it, just essentially, we get like down to the dirt and we discuss everything about the episode, and it's almost to our disadvantage, because we talk and we have some really awesome conversations, and then we... go to the actual podcast recording and we're like, wait, crap, we discussed everything. Yeah. So what do we have to talk about now? We're going to try and bring that to you guys for this episode.
Yes.
We're excited.
We are. And also, I do want to mention that I just made us a Twitter account very recently. And I'm very much new to Twitter, even though, like, how old I am, I should have been having a Twitter when I was in high school. But, like, that was never my thing. But I do think... that it's easy for you guys to tweet at us if you like something in particular in the episode or dislike something. I think it's an easier form of communication because you don't need to like comment on a picture and it's not really a DM. So it's just a little easier. So let us know too if you like this on Twitter.
Yeah. And it's new to us. So give us a little bit of time to kind of adjust and get acclimated.
Yes.
But we will learn it fast. At least we'll try to.
We're going to try. And then the last thing before we get into this is that I've been researching this for like a couple of weeks now. And then also like a couple of the podcasts that we both listen to and love, like they're covering it too. So it's just like super funny, like the timing of all of this and the coincidence. But I mean, it's also awesome that her case is being covered so much.
Yeah, that actually is pretty cool.
Yeah. So, all right. So today...
Wait, question.
Yeah.
So I seriously know nothing about this.
Right.
And I've been so tempted to because I've seen our podcasters like publish stuff and I'm like, I know this is who Panda's researching.
Yeah.
So I'm like, should I click? No, I can't click because we have to cover this. But is this the girl that you were following on that Facebook group who had the disappearance? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
There was like one case where like she disappeared or something happened. And you were following it and some other podcasters.
Oh.
Is this her?
Are you talking about the podcast? No, it wasn't a podcast group. It was a group on Facebook. Told you the True Crime Society or something. That one. No.
Oh, okay.
No. But That's also a great Facebook if you want to get into, like, true crime of, like, local places before it becomes necessarily, like, true crime known by massive media. So, just so you know.
Okay. Yeah. Because I don't know. I thought that was who we were going to discuss. But,
nope.
So,
nope.
I really know nothing about this case.
Not a thing, clearly. So, we are going to be covering Mytrese Richardson. And if you guys liked the Bryce Les Pisa case, you're really going to love this case. It's similar in the style of, like, events that goes on. So.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Yeah. Mytrese was born April 30th, 1985 in South Los Angeles. And her mother's name was Latisse and her father is Michael Richardson.
Did they just combine the names?
Oh.
Did you not pick up on that?
No, I didn't.
What? They definitely combined the names.
I did not even.
Michael. Literally. M-I. Latisse.
Oh, Mytrese. Just about. Yep.
They just added
an R.
With Richardson.
Yep.
Wow. Jesus. They got creative. Sorry. Okay. I'm already interrupting.
Well, they were in high school when they had her. So perhaps they just were, like, creative.
True. I mean, the name's cool, but.
Yeah.
I see where it came from.
I didn't. I love it. This is why, like, this is going to be fun. Oh, my God.
It's going to be great. Okay. Sorry. So, I'm already interrupting. Go ahead.
It's okay. So, Latisse's grandmother. So, Mytrese's great-grandmother, Mildred, took care of Mytrese so that the two young parents could still focus on school and go to work and such. And then, unfortunately, Michael turned to some not-so-kosher ways of getting some money. And then in 1989, he actually landed himself in an 8-year jail sentence at Soledad State Prison.
Okay.
But he was released before serving the whole sentence, so, you know, he wasn't there 8 years,
Michael,
but still.
What did you do?
It was some stealing of money. Stealing stuff.
Okay. Not terrible.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, not. He didn't murder someone. Yeah. But, like, yeah.
That's our.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, while Michael was in prison, Latisse ended up meeting another man. And the two of them got married. And then they moved to San Gabriel Valley, which was on the east side of L.A. So, not the south L.A. where they had previously been. And then Latisse opened up a legal services business because she wanted to be able to provide the best life possible for Mytrese. And she actually did a really good job. Mytrese was a cheerleader in high school and she absolutely loved dancing. Like, she was known for dancing. And she, as we'll see in a little bit, she goes on to make that part of her, like, life forever.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And so Latisse just always, like, encouraged her to do everything that, like, she could do, but always kept her on the straight and narrow and told her to do it right the first time so that you won't have to do it again, and because you'll just have to put more time into it to do what you know, just do it. Do it right the first time.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Don't beat around the bush.
Just... Right, because you're just going to have to do it twice then.
Yeah, exactly.
So Mytrese's hard work in school paid off. And then she was the first member of her family to attend college.
Which, that's like a huge thing for some families.
Yeah. Cool. So, yeah.
I love it.
And then she went on to graduate from California State Fullerton in 2008. And she got a degree in psychology because she was super interested in how the human mind worked.
My kind of girl.
Yeah. Mytrese was really close to both of her parents as well as her stepdad. And she eventually moved back to South L.A., which is where her dad still lived. He never moved out of there. But she moved in with her great-grandmother, Mildred, which was the one who had cared for her when she was a baby. And Mytrese got a job as a go-go dancer at a bar in Long Beach. But she worked on Friday nights, and she actually went by the name of Hazel.
Okay.
Yeah. And she was also currently at... What?
Is a go-go dancer like a stripper?
No. Okay, good question. A go-go dancer does not strip. They are fully clothed, but they're up on like a little platform, and they just dance like kind of provocatively, but like they're just more or less meant to be there and be sexy.
Okay.
And like to get the crowd going kind of thing.
I have an image in my head. Like kind of like blingy clothing.
Yes.
You're shaking it and
yeah, you're just trying to like get everybody else dancing with you. But,
okay.
But you are not on a pole stripping.
Gotcha.
Not that like ever. That's kind of funny because never have I ever seen, and not that I've been to a strip club, but never have I seen like a stripper stripping. They're already just naked.
True. That's a good point.
Like, they're just dancing on a pole.
Except when you see, like, the male strippers, and they're like, hey,
oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, you're yeah.
for a party, and
they're
then
like,
it's just bam.
Whipping it off.
Not that we've ever experienced that
No,
either,
that's
but.
True. I have less interest in that, to be honest. Yeah, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, no.
But anyway, so she went by Hazel, but she was also trying to get into modeling, which... She was known, like, she was in beauty pageants when she was growing up. She was just, like, a beautiful woman. She was like, super fit for this job.
Okay.
But one of her friends actually recalled going with Maitrice to an audition. And she just, like, just recalled how sketchy it was where they were going. Like, the building was just not good. But, I mean, I guess that probably happens.
There are some sketchy stories where, like, people pick up on... that vulnerable kind of like woman.
Yes.
Because yep. like they're looking for that kind of fame, so they'll get pictures taken. I've heard plenty of cases like that.
Yeah, they'll do like whatever just to get famous.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then like, or oh, come with me, like there's a modeling shoot or
mm-hmm.
it's just,
and they get kidnapped and never
yeah
come back.
Like there's so many stories like that. So props to her friend for picking up on
yeah
a sketchy
like
gig,
place,
I guess.
Yeah.
Like that's,
but that's not where that's slightly irrelevant. It just was like one of those things where I was like, well, I mean, I guess, yeah, need to be in there. But you know what was really cool too was Maitrice had even been invited to the Hot Summer Nights party at the Playboy Mansion as a guest model.
Oh girl, good.
Yeah, get
good
it.
For you. You are getting your career apparently very moving.
Yeah,
and moving fast.
Like I have to like assume that that's actually pretty,
that's high up there.
Yeah, like I would be honored.
I'll never get that invite, but
no,
I would be
either,
honored.
But I would be honored. But though Hef's no longer with us, so I guess like it's not the same nonetheless. She'd actually somewhat recently come out as a lesbian, and then she had earlier in the year had broken up with her like first serious girlfriend after coming out. So she was single and working as a go-go dancer, and she met a woman named Vanessa. But the problem was Vanessa was not single, but it did not stop Maitrice at all. She really didn't care. She just wanted to pursue this possibility, but like to an unhealthy level. Like she was like,
okay,
to the point of just straight obsession. Like it was too much.
Oh no.
Right, like she
even have it going for you.
I know, but seriously, she drove to Las Vegas alone one night after getting off shift at the club, like as working as the go-to-go dancer. She went to go celebrate Vanessa's birthday in Vegas, but like, no, Vanessa did not want her there. You know, like Vanessa was not single, didn't invite her. Like she showed up.
Uh oh.
So it was becoming just a little bit too much, and Vanessa told Maitrice to stay away. Like, she had had enough.
Oh, no. So her second real relationship then probably broke it off, right?
Well, yeah. It wasn't even a relationship.
Wait, so
they
obsession. Were just, like, seeing each other?
No. Maitrice was seeing Vanessa. Vanessa was not seeing Maitrice.
Okay, so it was, like, a fling one-sided.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So her, I mean, obviously, Maitrice's behavior did seem like it was becoming a little strange, and she was posting things on MySpace on like all hours of the night, things that were like, quote, have you ever woke up at 7 a.m crying on a Saturday because now you see the light, you see all the people lost in the dark, ? Welcome to my reality. I know, no,
I shouldn't be laughing.
Nope.
But I can't
no,
say that I have,
but like, right. Yeah, and she actually had mentioned to one of her friends about possibly going to therapy, but for the most part, she really wanted everyone to think that she had it under control. But did she?
Mm.
I don't know about that.
Was she still going to school at this time?
No, because she had graduated.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so she was just working as a go-go dancer, and I think she was, like, pursuing, like, what she wanted to do next.
Okay. Yeah, because there's really only so much you can do with a psychology degree. You kind of have to go further.
Right.
Like into your education if you really want something.
Something.
Yeah.
So, okay. So Maitrice has been living in South L.A. She's been brought up in East L.A. She knows, like, Long Beach. She knows all these areas. But what she does not know is Malibu. For whatever reason, on Wednesday, September 16th of 2009, Maitrice took a drive on the Pacific Coast Highway towards Malibu. Couldn't tell you why. She was driving in her, like, old-ass 1998 Honda. And, like,
about to break down.
You're right? So she's just driving, and she really didn't seem to have, like, any specific destination. But she saw this sign, which was, like, a lit-up sign for the restaurant called Jeffrey's. Which it is actually pretty popular restaurant. It's known for its great ocean view. So she decided to pull off the highway and she stopped there. Now I'd also just, this drives me crazy. Jeffrey's is spelt Geoffrey. And every time I read it, I read Geoffrey.
And you know who that makes me think of?
Joffrey.
Yep. From Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I know. Me too now. And I'm like, ew, I hate you.
Kill the king.
Ugh, he's such a little twerp.
That was, all right, we're not doing a Game of Thrones podcast. Like, no. We could go on for days forever about that. I have, like, my brain wheels are turning.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, so she's, you know, alone. She's on this drive. It's actually about 45 to 50 minutes away from South LA. So it was a pretty decent drive. Mm-hmm. But nothing about this really has gotten all that intriguing up until this point. So let's continue, because it's about to get weird.
Oh, this is where I'm excited.
This is, yes. Okay.
We heard her background. Now we want to hear the case.
So Maitrice pulled off into this parking lot for Jeffrey's. And then for whatever reason, like, she went to the valet. The valet guy was going to go park somebody else's car, so he had just left. And, like, you would normally just either, you know, stand there and wait with your keys.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. She got out of her car and then sat in his car.
Why? What?
Well, so that's what I'm saying, because, one, I don't know why his car
would
like,
be there in the first
place. Right, because why is that not just parked?
Yeah.
But
you
apparently.
I've never seen a valet guy's car.
Me either. But that's apparently what happened. So she sits in his car. He comes back and he's like, hey, oh, well, hold on. Before I tell you what he was doing, here's a word-for-word description of what she was wearing from him, okay? Quote, she was hazel-eyed with curly locks sticking out of her Rastafarian-style hat. She wore a long-sleeved white T-shirt, which I love that because if it's long-sleeved, it's not a T-shirt. It's a long-sleeved shirt, but whatever. She was wearing a long-sleeved white T-shirt under a black Bob Marley tee, Vans, and fashionably distressed jeans with a pink alligator pattern belt.
Couple comments.
Yeah.
One, this is a guy talking.
Yeah, he was talking about her.
So descriptive.
So descriptive.
Like, creepy descriptive. And, like, the hazel eyes with the curly hair flowing out. And, like,
yeah.
That's not normal.
I'm more, like, hung up on, like, the alligator pattern, pink alligator pattern belt.
Well, of course you are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But, like, no, that's weird. That's, like, so descriptive, especially for a guy to be picking up on those things.
Yeah, but also, like, keep in mind, I mean, I guess most of that's pretty normal. Everything, I guess, is pretty normal except for that damn belt, but the rest of it's so normal, you probably shouldn't remember it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's so descriptive that it's, like, it shouldn't stand out in your memory that strongly.
Right. But, okay, anyway, so she's in this guy's car.
Okay. Is he part of the story later on? I need to know.
Mm-mm.
Okay. He didn't do any of the killing?
Nope, that's it. He's
Did
pretty
she
much
die?
Done.
Okay, I need to stop.
Yeah, you wait. So, I know, isn't this weird?
I don't like it. I want to know the whole thing.
You will. Okay, so, this valet guy, she's sitting in his car, and he goes, like, what are you doing in there? And she replied, it's subliminal. Yeah, and then mumbled something about avenging the death of Michael Jackson, and then handed the guys her keys. And then she asked, is Vanessa here? And then she said,
what?
You know, look out for a girl with a tattooed arm. Like, as though...
So she's trying to find her?
I mean, it would sound almost like that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But what the hell does Michael Jackson's death have to do with any of this?
I could not give you an answer.
No. No idea. And, like, he's not going to know Vanessa, unless Vanessa is somebody that works there.
Yeah, true.
And, I don't know, it's all just a strange interaction.
Yeah.
So he actually does kind of, like, mention this strange interaction to the hostesses. Yeah, I guess hostesses.
Hosties.
he says something to them just to, like, let them know, like, what's going on. Just that he's, like, aware. But, you know, whatever. So she goes inside. She gets seated. And she ordered a Ocean Breeze cocktail and a Kobe steak. Which, this Kobe steak is, like, $65 in itself because it's Kobe steak.
Damn.
So, like, this thing, she's off to a great start.
And she's by herself.
Yeah. And do you know what the Ocean Breeze is?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so Ocean Breeze is vodka, lemonade, blue curacao, and then it's garnished with, like, cherries and a lemon slice, which sounds pretty good to me.
Kind of a weird drink for a steak, but that's just my personal opinion.
Right, I know, I'd probably get wine.
Well.
Maybe I'm partial.
Yeah, we're a little partial.
Maybe. So, okay, so she's in this restaurant alone, and obviously she ordered enough food for one person, like, it's all fine. But then she, like, really quickly noticed that there was a table next to her that had seven people around it. So it's, you know, a little bumping over there.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes over and she's like, hey, can I, like, sit with you and, like, talk to you guys? And so she's inserting herself into their conversation.
She goes to the table?
Yeah. Yeah, like, she goes over there and she's just like, blah, 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 blah. And I guess she's talking about, like, astrological signs and, like, random ass shit.
I can only imagine what that table must have talked about after the fact.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this is clearly super, super weird.
Yeah.
And some staff members did check in with, like, other people at the table, but they kind of thought it was funny what she was, like, talking about and stuff, so they let her stay.
Okay.
So, her steak finally came to the table, so she did go eat her food at her own table.
Mm-hmm.
But when she was done, she went back to talk to them about some more stuff. And then she announced to them out of literally fucking nowhere that she was going to Hawaii. And she would contact them when she
got
there.
They don't know you.
They don't know. They don't care. She literally wasn't going to Hawaii. Like, she's losing her shit.
She wasn't?
Nope.
She just said it?
Yep. She was just going a little, like, what?
Okay.
So, yeah. Like, what?
Is she on drugs?
You're going to have to keep listening. Ugh. Okay. So, this whole, like, group of seven people finished eating. They paid their bill. They left. Like normal people do. And then Maitrice tried to leave, but she did not pay her tab, and the manager did stop her, and he was like, hey, like, you need to pay. Her bill at the end was $89, so I don't know how expensive that drink was, but shit, like, what?
Sometimes cocktails, though, they can be, like, 14-something bucks.
Yeah,
so.
Plus tax, I guess so. So, he had, like, stopped her, and he was like, hey, like, how are you paying for it? And she was like, oh, like... That they were supposed to pay for it. They paid for it. And he was like, no, they didn't. So she just was like, I guess I'm busted.
What?
Like, what?
Okay, so, it makes sense why she went over the table now. She wanted them to pay, but no.
Yeah. But anyway, she also did tell him that she was from Mars. And that's not normal. So
I can't wait to see where this story goes.
Yeah. And then she emptied out her pocket. Like, she, like, folded. That's not the right word. She, like, pulled the pocket inside out to show that she had no money. Like, she was just like, yeah, I'm broke. I got nothing there. But she actually really wasn't broke. So that's, like, the weird thing. But nonetheless. So, you know, all this is going on is getting super weird. So one of the staff members called the sheriff's department and was just like, hey, like, we have a woman here. She's acting, like, weird and almost a little crazy. Like, maybe she's on drugs. Like, can you come check her out? So, the sheriff's department did send an officer over to check. But, in the meantime, Maitrice just kept talking about, like, the weirdest stuff. So, for instance, she was telling one of the hostesses that she was watching a soap opera while she was at work and that God instructed her to take the rest of the afternoon off. She also told the hostess that she had no parents, just her great-grandmother. But that's... not true.
And you said she was close to her parents.
Right. Like, she had no reason to be saying any of this, so it made no sense.
Huh.
Yeah. So, the hostess called Mildred, her great-grandmother, I don't really know, like, why.
Wait, the hostess called her great-grandmother?
Yeah, she must have given her their number as, like, trying to settle the bill or something. I'm not really quite sure, like, what the purpose was. But Mildred's 90, and she's not driving up to Malibu.
No.
Like, it's not happening. But she tried to, like, give her credit card number over the phone, which would have worked. But she either needed to come up to the restaurant to sign the receipt or fax a signature. But she didn't have a fax machine. So
this poor grandmother.
I know.
She just was minding her own business, and now she gets pulled into this crap.
Yes. And the restaurant could have just, like, let it go, I guess. But, like, her, you know, I don't know. They were
trying to get paid.
Yeah, you know? And so Maitrice is talking to Mildred on the phone. And, you know, like, she's telling her, like, get your shit together. Like, you're going to be taken to jail. Like,
I would have said the same exact thing to my granddaughter.
Yes.
Get your shit together.
Yeah.
You are beating around the bush.
Exactly. I'm not entirely positive who contacted Latisse, her mother, if it was Mildred or if it was the cops. But somebody did contact Latisse and let her know kind of like what was going on. But anyway, these officers do show up and they searched her car, but they didn't report finding really anything, like not her wallet, not her phone, no money. But they did report finding her license, remnants of some marijuana, and a partially finished bottle of alcohol. But that led them to believe perhaps she was experiencing these odd behaviors or exhibiting these behaviors because she was intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
So they did give her a field sobriety test and checked her eyes and her pulse, which I didn't know was part of that, but whatever. And she was, like, stone cold sober. Like, because she'd only had that one drink. She wasn't, like, drunk from that one drink. She was fine. Like,
makes
so
sense,
sober.
But her attitude and behaviors don't really seem
correct.
Okay,
like, they don't seem like they go together.
No.
The cops asked her why she was at Joffrey's, and she said she was drawn by the lights, which she must have been referring to this, like, highway sign, because it was a lit-up highway sign that said Joffrey's. No, Jeffrey's.
Joffrey's.
I probably just called it Joffrey's before.
I was totally going with the flow, because I was like, yeah, Joffrey's.
No, Jeffrey's. Anyway, this whole thing is, like, super odd. Nothing about this makes sense. She wasn't on any medications or drugs. She has had no prior encounters with law enforcement or, like, anybody like this. So, like, this is all just new. And some of the employees at the restaurant contemplated paying her bill so that the only thing she would get a ticket for was the little bit of marijuana they found in her car, which was less than an ounce. But in the end, the manager of the restaurant wanted to press charges. I'm not sure if he wanted to do it because I don't think he was trying to be a dick about it. I think he was concerned.
Okay.
Like
trying to make sure she got extra help.
Yeah. So the cops also agreed they didn't really think it was responsible to let Maitrice drive in this altered state, which nobody could really tell, like, why she
was
in it.
What was creating the altered state.
Mm-hmm. But they did impound her car, and then they took her to the station, which was about 25 minutes away from the restaurant. Latisse called the sheriff's department, and she'd said that she didn't want to wake up her other daughter, Maitrice's younger sister, who was just 10 years old, just to drive all the way up to this department and if they weren't going to let her out until the morning. But she told them she will come if they were going to release her, because she especially mentioned that she's not from, like, Maitrice, she's not from the area. And, quote, "I would hate to wake up to a morning report about a lost girl somewhere with her head chopped off."
Is this like a foreshadowing?
A little bit. But these officers at the department, they assured Latisse that Maitrice would be safe at the station. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, I'm getting excited now. I just sat up in my seat. I should not be getting excited, but I am.
I know, but it's, like, more fun this way, I feel.
Yeah. I'm like, people can't see my face. Our peoples can't see my face right now, but I keep giving her these, like
side eye kind
of? Yeah, it's like a side eye kind of, like, grimace almost, and I'm like, what's
like,
coming?
Tell me more.
Yeah, I want to know.
Okay, so also, this is just a side note kind of thing, but I thought it was still important. So, according to the department's policy, an officer is allowed to detain someone deemed mentally unstable.
Yeah.
Yeah, the code for that is 5150, which was really funny. Made me think of that song by, like,
5150. Some
you call the po-po.
Wait, crap. What's the next part?
I'm something crazy.
I'm going crazy.
Yeah, without you, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Okay. Anyway. So this this code, 5150, really just means that a person poses a danger to either themselves or another. So you're able to detain someone, obviously. The officer then would be able to put the person in either a watch commander hold or, if necessary...
Is this Game of Thrones? Yeah, a watch commander hold? I know,
right? Right? What the hell? Or a 72-hour detainment, but at the hospital for a psych eval. So.
Psych eval?
Yeah, a psych eval.
Did she go for the psych eval?
She did not.
Where? So she's on the watch group?
Nope.
Back out in the public?
Hold on.
Ha!
So here's the thing. The arresting officer did not note any suspicious behavior in his report. He simply wrote it for the failure to pay the bill and the marijuana. So, technically, per the department policy, Maitrice wasn't able to be held for anything.
So she's out.
Yep, but not yet. She is actually in jail for a little bit. She does go to jail for just a tad bit, but she's not able to be held. So, but in jail, she did not call her mother. She could only remember her great-grandmother's number, so she called her. According to the log, Maitrice attempted to call Mildred 4 times. And she was overheard having a conversation. But later, Mildred would insist that her phone never rang. And it just so happens, because of course this is how this always happens, that the phone that was used to record the calls was not working. Or the one that records the calls. Yeah, that one wasn't working.
The stereotypical, we have no evidence, even though we would have would have had evidence.
Exactly. So she used a payphone, and that didn't have the capability, so no one actually knows if she was ever talking to anything other than just the dial tone. Honestly, it sounds like not, because if she thought she was calling Mildred, and Mildred goes, I didn't get any phone calls.
I mean, though, based on her remarks of, like, the past night and, like, what she's been saying to people, like, it wouldn't surprise me that she maybe thought she was talking to her grandmother. True. And to her, maybe her perception was her grandmother was talking back to her?
Maybe.
And perhaps in her mind she did call 4 times and
Well, I think she attempted to call 4 times or something. Like, she was at least at the phone that many times.
Okay.
Or that long.
So maybe in her head it went through a couple times. Maybe. Whatever, but in reality it might not have.
Right. So it's all just like not making a whole lot of sense. And Latisse did just assume that all would be fine overnight because she'd been told that they would keep Maitrice safe in the station, because why would they not?
Mm-hmm.
So she did not call the department again until 5:35 in the morning, but now it will be Thursday the 17th, which now, at that point, she was informed by the jailer that Maitrice was not there because she had been let out at around 12:15 in the morning.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait. Say those times again. Okay, so she was let out at 12:15 in the morning.
Yep. At around 12:15, she was offered to be able to stay in the lobby of the jail because, obviously, like, she didn't have any...
She didn't need to be in an actual jail cell.
Right. But she didn't have a car or anything because her car was still impounded 15 miles away.
Hmm.
So they released her, though. I mean, they couldn't keep her. So she had to be released. So
and then at 5, her mom came.
No, at 5:30 in the morning, her mom called the station.
Oh, okay.
Because Maitrice would have needed to be, like, bailed out, she thought. Because she assumed she was, like, in jail. Needed bail. It comes to 5:30 and she's told, Maitrice is not here. She was released at 12:15 in the morning. Big old problem here.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Maitrice was only released with her license, which big whoop, and keys, but she didn't have a car.
Yeah, she has to walk 15 miles to get a car.
Right, but she doesn't have her phone. She does not have her wallet. She doesn't have anything. She's literally got her license and her keys.
Okay.
So, and she's really, really far from home. Nowhere near home. She's like in the middle of nowhere, but no transportation. There was nothing open, obviously. It's 12:15 in the morning. And she was alone. As soon as Latisse hung up the phone from, like, that initial phone call, she called a bunch of people and she was like, hey, like, have you seen Maitrice? Like, where is Maitrice? Did Maitrice contact you? Like, blah, blah, blah. Nope, nobody had seen Maitrice, nothing. So she called back the station and she spoke with an officer to be like, hey, how long how long until I can fill out a missing persons report? Is it 24 or 48 hours? And the officer told her that it depends. Normally, I really wouldn't recommend filling one out so soon because my truce had really only been released a couple hours earlier. But he really didn't know much about this whole case. So Latisse told him, she filled him in, and then he had said, like, you know, 24 hours, I guess, would be reasonable. But since, you know, if there are mitigating factors or if you suspect something isn't quite right, and then Latisse was, like, bawling on the phone, and she told him that Maitrice doesn't know the area. She's never been there before, and she actually thought Maitrice was highly depressive. So he said probably just wait until a little bit later in the morning and call again if she doesn't turn up. So I guess, like, he's not saying a full, like, 24 hours or 48 hours. I fucking hate the 48-hour thing, but...
Yeah. She's just kind of saying, wait a few, wait till you see if you hear from her at least, and then we'll kind of get on it, maybe?
I as much as I, like, disagree with his choice now, thinking back, like, I can see how his choice at the moment was...
Made sense.
Yeah, because, like, she literally had been missing for... But she wasn't. Like, nobody could really... How are you sure she's missing? Because she got released at 12 and it's 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah. It, like, she could be trying to go back to her car and then maybe they would hear something then. Or, like, she would get... I don't know.
Like, a couple... It's... That's a hard call to make, but... So, at 6:30 that morning, the Lost Hills Sheriff's Department got a call from a man in Calabasas informing them about a possible prowler that was, like, walking around in his backyard, which is just a few miles from the department. And this guy called and described the woman as a slim black woman with afro hair. The guy on the phone said he'd opened his window to ask and see if this person was okay. And she replied, I'm just resting. And then he tried to get a better view of her, like, from a different window, but she had already, like, run away. And he called the sheriff's department, and they sent an officer over to check, but nobody was there. They didn't find anything. And it would be, honestly, a very long time before she was, like, looked upon again. Like, I guess they kind of told her mother, like, she can go, like, somebody was reported in this area, kind of matches this description, so, hey, you can go, like, search in that area if you want. So Latisse did go, but whatever. It was all just a little bit messy at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nobody's really been able to pinpoint Maitrice since midnight, so she's really just, like, disappeared. For whatever reason, the department waited to start searching for Maitrice, and, like, a full 2 days, like, a very long time.
Aww.
Yeah. They probably should have had scent dogs out there, like, pretty immediately. That probably would have been able to, like...
Pick up on her smell and find her, at least.
Yeah, yep.
I mean...
But they didn't. And then when they finally started the search, they went to the last place, like, seen, or that they thought she had been seen. So it was the house that this guy called from. And they actually were able to, like, find her shoe prints in the area, and they looked like they were walking, and they kind of looked like they were picking up and doing, like, more of a running, like, pace. And then they just got mixed in with other shoe prints and, like, horse hooves and stuff. And there was right around the Dark Creek area, but they didn't actually follow them into that area. Like, they didn't go into that area. Not that they didn't follow them, because I don't think that they, like, could see them in there, but they didn't follow them into there. If you get what I'm saying.
Kind of, not really.
Like, her footprints kind of got muddled up with other footprints, and then they probably could have, like, searched into the canyon.
Oh, okay.
But they, or the creek, but they didn't, so.
Okay. They just left. Yeah. Like, let it be.
Yep. So, because Maitrice is from Los Angeles, this turned into an LAPD missing persons unit case, so they took over the search. But the Long Hill Sheriff Department did stay, like, very involved. And then 3 days later, the case got moved to the LAPD Robbery Homicide Division.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they claim not because it was homicide, but because they had better resources. Take that with what you want. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you tell the family so they don't
freak.
Yeah.
So the LAPD gained access to Maitrice's belongings in her car, which included her ATM card, her cell phone, her checkbook.
Her cell phone.
Yes. Which seemed to all be overlooked by the sheriff's department the night she was arrested. She didn't have that with her when she was let go. Yeah, like that should have probably been.
That should have. If she's let go, all of your belongings go.
They didn't come out of the car. They were stuck in the impound lot. But you would have thought they would have pulled your cell phone with you.
They would have, yeah.
And your, like, ATM card and something. Should be, like, in your wallet, which they kind of said that they didn't find, blah, blah, blah.
It was really weird. Hey, we're going to keep you here until your stuff arrives, so then you have something to actually use when you get back out into the community.
Or, like, why impound the car 15 miles away and then not bring her to the car?
Yeah.
Or why release her with no means to get there at midnight?
Like, you know she has nothing on her.
Like, all of that was just weird. Yeah.
I don't like that.
Right. So, also in the car, they found a journal with entries that led them to believe that Maitrice had been extremely sleep-deprived in the days before taking this drive to Malibu, which just kind of, like, showed them that she could have been suffering from a bipolar episode the night that she was arrested.
Explains her behavior.
And now, granted, to me, like, those two don't go hand in hand. Like, bipolar is a chemical imbalance in your brain. Like, it's an actual
But there could illness. Be things that trigger it to make it, like, more apt right. to... Right.
But you would still need to have it. Like, being sleep-deprived does not make you bipolar.
No, but it... Like, okay, so... It doesn't make you have that diagnosis, but it can make you have types of symptoms that go along with what bipolar would be characterized as.
Fair. Like, it would exacerbate your symptoms.
Yeah. Like, even if she doesn't have that specific diagnosis, like, you can have, like say you're sleep deprived, you can have manic episodes, okay. like, hallucinations, like, depending on how sleep deprived you are.
That's true. I've been there, done that, right? actually.
Yeah, like, you're just not yourself. Like, you get, your brain's fried, essentially,
right, like
and you
it
need
literally
to have some
sleep.
Yeah, it needs sleep in order to, like, refunction.
Yeah.
But that kind of makes sense because if you think back to the overspending and the kind of just the quick jump to be with random people, mm-hmm. that's a manic
but
episode.
Wait, there's more.
Oh, I'm excited.
Okay, so leading, like, this whole thing got her family thinking about the days that had been leading up to her disappearance and how she actually was exhibiting pretty odd behavior, but, like, it didn't click with them how odd it was just until, like, this whole thing went down.
Hindsight's 2020.
Exactly. So Maitrice had showed up to her aunt's house, like, a couple days prior, and she actually left behind her business cards for her go-go dancing, but honestly, like, she didn't, like, leave her business, she just fucking, like, scattered them everywhere. Like, they were, like, on the front porch, just, like, tons of business cards everywhere. Hmm. And before leaving, she left a piece of paper that had a smiley face and the words, "Black women scored," and she kissed this piece of paper, like, as, like, a, like, sealed it kind of thing, like a... Like, the end note, whatever. But she stuck it under the windshield wiper of her uncle's car. And, like, she was just sending all these weird texts. And all of her, everybody was just kind of brushing it off because, like, yeah, it was weird. But, I mean, sometimes people are just a little off and you just kind of let it go.
Yeah.
So they let it go. Up in Malibu now, her friends and family are up there. She's missing and they're all handing out flyers, hoping that somebody would come forward with, like, any information. Like, had they seen her?
Yeah, like, at this point, she's anything. A few days missing, yep. and they want something.
Something. Literally anything. And obviously, also, this attracted media attention, this case in particular, and rather quickly. Emails were exchanged within the sheriff's department shortly after Maitrice went missing that were talking about the arrest and the release of Maitrice, saying that she was brought in because the arresting officer noticed that she wasn't acting right and didn't feel comfortable letting her go. Which he shouldn't. But upon bringing her in the department, he realized that there was really nothing he had on her that was allowing him to keep her overnight. But now, even though there's evidence of this email in the case file, the officers that were exchanging these emails don't remember talking to each other about it. And they deny even asking for the sobriety test to be performed.
That was in the email?
No, the email was what I said where they were talking about, like, they were talking about, like, her not acting right, but now they're claiming they don't remember those incidents.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then 5 days after the email had been sent, the department issued an addendum to the said sobriety test, which stated that Maitrice appeared to be entirely aware of her surroundings and did not seem confused, which just, like, contradicts everything I've said thus far.
Yeah, she definitely is confused.
Yes.
Maybe a little hallucinations going exactly. on, too.
So, wait, there's more. 3 weeks after that, the department's spokesperson declared that Maitrice, quote, exhibited no signs of mental incapacitation whatsoever. That's a word, I'll tell you. But whatever. No mental incapacitation. Bullshit. She showed a lot of signs of that.
Yeah, she did.
Like, a lot.
I mean, again, we're looking back, but the fact, like, we're looking back and saying, yeah, she did, but the fact that the hostess was calling the police in the first place because they didn't, I mean, they had some sort of encounter with her where she wasn't paying her bill, but, like, they were even saying that they were going to just let that go. So the fact that they called the police, which is a pretty bold move.
Yeah.
You have to feel pretty confident, like, okay, this girl isn't, something's not right. Like, you can't, she had something going on with her mind right there.
Yep, and it was not okay. Like, she had something that needed to be addressed.
Yeah.
But it was not. So, honestly, all of this just sounds terrible, and it sounds like a way that they're, like, trying to backtrack or take the blame off of them. The department also ended up saying that all applicable laws, policies, and procedures were followed.
They all say that.
Yeah, and, like, maybe they were, but maybe they weren't, and you're not going to say that they weren't.
Yeah, you're not going to admit fault to anything.
No.
That's just not how that works.
Absolutely not. So while all of this was going on, the LAPD was doing all that they could to find Maitrice. Because let's bring that back. Like, that's what's going on. We need to find Maitrice. Where the hell is she?
Yeah.
So they were searching all leads, really anywhere from, like, Beverly Hills to Chino Hills, but nothing panned out. Nothing. The family tried to get the footage from the cell from her night in prison, but they were told that it did not exist by one of the officers.
Again, like the phone call.
Right, but that's even worse. Like, that one, I believe, probably did not exist, like, because she was on the payphone. But this guy is saying that they don't have security camera footage of inside of the jail cells. Like, I don't believe you. And I don't think anybody did.
Yeah.
But then, so this guy's name who was telling her that was Captain Martin. And then it was in January 2010 when Latisse and Maitrice's aunt were talking with Captain Martin as well as Sheriff Baca or Baca. It's B-A-C-A, so I don't know. Baca? Okay. I think Baca. So they were talking with Captain Martin and Sheriff Baca from LASD. And Martin told her that there actually was a video. Surprise, surprise. So a couple months later, you know? Yeah. Like, you said no, and now you're saying there is.
I feel like that's worse. Like,
take a guess where it was.
Oh, no. Where?
In his desk drawer. Is that not the most infuriating thing? Like, what?
Like, you... That just makes me mad.
And then apparently this dude was also then promoted to commander, but he was transferred out of that department into, like, a different... Not, it's still, like, within, you know how you just have, like, sometimes different stations or precincts? I believe it was like that. He got promoted and then just moved out of that specific department.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But still, like, dude's lying about a video and then gets promoted, and it just irritates me.
There's some sketchy stuff that goes on.
There is. Mm. Okay, so 3 months would pass before anyone in her family was able to see the video. Which, because
that's
they
a
had
long
to,
time.
Like, they had to go to the department to watch the video there. They didn't, like, release the video to them, they had to go there. But it was still 3 months before they were able to see this video, so it was a long time. The department claimed because it was from technical difficulties, but that sounds, again, like some bullshit to me.
Sounds like a cover-up.
Yeah. And then when they did watch it, supposedly the video seemed edited because it seemed, at least according to at least one source, that it was, like, when... There was a scene, like a moment where Maitrice was holding a piece of paper, but the literal next second it was crumpled and on the floor. So without watching her crumple it, like, that's clearly edited, you know? which just makes this case all the more suspish.
Yeah. So I shouldn't be laughing at that, but just
sorry. That was my fault. And also in this video, you can see Maitreese leave the building and then, well, not, maybe not this video, in a video, you can see Maitreese leave the building. She's released and she has left the building. Hmm. And then about only 2 minutes later, an officer also exits, which is fine. I mean, he's off shift, perhaps. I don't know. But this really bothered her mom because it showed that literally anything was possible. And that it was likely that somebody did see Maitreese after she left the department.
Okay.
But the department would not reveal the officer's name. And her now, you know, her family was just growing more and more with their distrust. Like, they were just, there was, why would they trust the department at all at this point?
At this point, were they doing anything still to actually search for her?
Yeah, I think her family was, but, like, they didn't.
The police department, though?
Oh. I don't know. Well, hold on. Because, okay. Like, yeah, but I don't know if like, at that exact moment. But, yes, hold on. So, like, her family is just, like, thinking the absolute worst of this officer. Because who knows? It literally is possible they have nothing to do with it, but it's possible they do. And they just want answers. 4 months after Maitreese went missing, they had, like, the largest search, I think, at least at the time, in the Calabasas area, which had 240 people at least, 60 horseback, ATVs, dogs, helicopters, bikes.
Oh, dang.
The whole shebang. And they say that usually when someone is missing, they turn up within a 10-mile radius from where they were last seen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's unclear, though, if they actually searched Dark Canyon. I said Dark Creek earlier, and I think it's Dark Canyon.
Okay.
But none, like...
Dark something.
Yeah, dark something. But it's really unclear, even though they should be, because that would have been, like, right in that radius. Like, it's unclear if they had searched it. And then her father, during all of this, he believed, like, he truly believed that he saw Maitreese near the Vegas Strip prostituting herself back in in January. And he, like, stopped the car. He got out of the car. He went trying to run after her. But there was just too many people. He couldn't catch up to her. So if it was her, he didn't catch up to her. And he was like, concerned at that point. Like, he was thinking about it in his head. And he was like, did someone at the Playboy event, like, get a hold of her? Did they, like, become her pimp? You know, all these things. But then, you know, one of her friends also had thought that they saw her in Vegas, but in a casino in June. So that's actually quite a gap of time, but
yeah,
the police really didn't go, they did not care when her father thought he saw them, her, but did kind of like get interested when like more people were getting like involved. And I guess it came down to like over 70 reported sightings of Maitreese in Vegas. So the LAPD did actually go to Vegas and look into these reported sightings, but nothing came of it because I don't believe she was ever there, and neither did Latisse.
Question, and I don't know if you know this, but how far away was Vegas from,
it's like,
wait, where's the first place?
South LA or Malibu?
Malibu. How far is Vegas from Malibu?
From Malibu, I don't exactly know. I don't know if it adds, because it's like 50 minutes from South LA where she lived to Malibu, but I don't think that, I don't know if that equates the same to eastward, but it's about a 3 to 4 hour drive from like LA to Vegas.
Okay, so if she doesn't have a car and she ended up on the Vegas Strip, how the heck, that would take you, I mean, granted, that would be a long enough time.
Yeah, from, but you can't walk that. You literally couldn't walk that.
And to find your way back. Like, right. You don't have a phone, so you can't use your navigation.
Yeah, you don't know where you are.
No.
Yeah.
That's I feel like that's kind of a stretch.
Right. I agree.
I don't know. Who knows?
Exactly. So, here it goes. So, Latisse always thought that they were searching the wrong area anyway, but, you know. Now it's August 9th, 2010, and Malibu State Park Rangers were heading into Dark Canyon to check on a defunct marijuana farm, which was from back in 2009, just to check and make sure that it was, in fact, still defunct. And they happened to find a body, naked and badly decomposed, but, like, almost mummified, and they presumed it to be Maitreese's.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
So, get this. It's only that exact area, while it may be hard to, like, kind of hike to, is only 8 miles from the Lost Hills Sheriff's Department and like only...
where she was found, or where she was released?
Yep, and only 2 miles from where she was last seen.
What?
Does that not anger you? Like, because they were supposed... I mean, they had said they'd searched this 10-mile radius, but I told you they didn't... It didn't seem as though they had searched the Dark Canyon.
She
was found in Dark Canyon.
You did not do a good job searching the 10-mile radius if she was found 8 miles away.
2 miles away! 8 miles from the station, 2 miles from where she was last seen, which is where they started their search. So you're supposed to do 10 miles from that point.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. So...
just wait, so she was on a marijuana farm?
Yeah, it was not, it's defunct. So they, like, went in, like, in 2009, they had found it, and they, like, shut it down. So it was no longer, like, necessarily growing so marijuana. So it's
the perfect place because there's nobody there working?
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because it's, yeah.
It's, so it's like an abandoned farm. Place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So.
And who defunct it?
we're not going to get probably there. Probably the state park. Rangers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, like, it's illegal, so they were, like, not shutting that shit down. So, obviously, these rangers called this into the sheriff's department, and according to the coroner's report, they arrived 80 minutes later. So the sheriff's department took 80 minutes to get 8 miles.
And then,
around 1:30 in the afternoon, they were there. And then when they got there, the Rangers left because they really had no need for them to be there. So that's fine. So, but are you ready to get even more irritated about this entire situation?
I don't know.
Yeah. So, the way the law is written, the officers are required to call the coroner as soon as they are aware of human remains. That really doesn't mean that as soon as they arrive there. It means, like,
hey, yeah, you're notified. You have to call.
You notify.
Okay.
Yes. They didn't. They waited until 2:58 p.m. to call. So that's about 90 minutes after they arrived on scene and 3 hours after they were notified.
Let me get this right.
Mm-hmm.
So 90 minutes after they arrived on scene?
Yes.
But it took them 80 minutes to get there in the first place.
Right. So it's 3 hours after they were notified. Approximately.
That's not good.
Correct.
See, this is like you're just making it fishy for yourself again.
Exactly. Like, we'll get into it at the end about, like, thoughts, but you're making it seem fishy.
Yeah.
The team from the coroner's department or office, I think it would be the department. Office? Department. We'll go with department. But either way, there was 7 men on this team, and they came to the sheriff's department around 5 p.m., and they were told that they would be taken to the scene by helicopter. However, at around 5:20 p.m., 2 officers from the department were taken to the scene by helicopter, and then another hour and 40 minutes went by, and there's still no helicopter for the coroner's team to get onto.
What the heck?
Right.
That's like, the reason it's fishy is because you can have so much time then to do something to the body.
Exactly. So, you know,
No, I don't like that.
The department claims that the reason was that they didn't have a helicopter for them was that that it had been called to search for a missing hiker. Now, I did not actually, like, try to find out if it was true, whatever, but so what? Like, you could have, I don't know, all of this was just wrong.
Yeah, I feel like, okay, so if that is the case, I understand why you then didn't call the coroners, because you wouldn't necessarily presume that there's a body.
Right.
However, if that's not the actual information and it's just another cover up, like, we will likely never get that type of dispatch information, like, released if there is anything really fishy going on.
So now it's getting dark and it's getting late. It's about 8 p.m. now. And the team thought that they would have to come back in the morning, obviously, because, like, it's dark. Like, what the hell are you going to do in the dark? But a worse decision was actually made than that. Like, can you even imagine?
Oh, no.
And this one was actually against the direction of the lead coroner. Mitrice's body was packed up by the LASD officers, so the sheriff's department officers, and airlifted back to the department.
Wait. Yeah. So then this you can't dispute. This, her body was found, and the coroner's office was not notified.
No, they were notified, but they were not there. They were the ones, they should have been there. They should have packed her body.
But wouldn't you then just leave everything in place?
You should. Yeah, they did. Okay. Didn't. Okay, so this is going against the law yet again. The first one was...
for not calling in the first place when you...
Yeah, that's the one. Okay. So we went against the law before, and now we're going against the law again. Because this time, this one states that a body shall not be disturbed or moved from the position or place of death without permission of the coroner or the coroner's appointed deputy.
Yeah, because that disrupts so much. Like, you could impact the way that, I mean, granted, I don't know how she was murdered, but like...
And neither do they. That's the whole point.
Yeah, exactly. They need to figure it out, and you could just disrupt everything.
Everything. And they're not trained to do this. So, like, they did a piss-poor job taking her body from the scene. They didn't take photos of the scene. They didn't take soil samples. They did everything wrong. They literally fucked up the only chance they had at getting a clear answer from the coroner.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, luckily, the park rangers had actually taken some photos when they were there. So the coroner was able to see Mitrice's body, like, before it was disturbed. But still, dude, like, what?
Yeah, it's not the actual thing.
No. But here's the other thing. So her body was found in such an interesting way itself. Her right leg was about 2 yards away from her body and uphill. Which is, like, not the natural, like, if an animal were to have taken her leg from her body, normally they would take the path of least resistance and drag it downhill. Why in the hell would an animal bring it uphill?
Is it descriptive on, like, was it pulled off? Was it a clean cut?
So, not only was the body up the hill, but the femur bone was removed. And it literally, like, left the tissue. Like, there was, like, a tube. Like, the bone was pulled out.
Animal's not gonna do that.
Correct. The animal's gonna eat the tissue. It doesn't want the bone.
Yeah, no.
Right, so...
yeah, it wants the meat around...
yeah, the bone.
Yeah.
And then, like, rats, but not rats, because there's probably no rats there. But that type of animal, the kind that chew on bones, it would chew the bone.
They're not gonna take out the entire thing.
But you can't pull the bone out, correct. It's really weird.
I don't even know what to think about that.
Isn't that the strangest thing?
How would they even... like, because there's so many different ligaments connected to the end of the femur, that how could you just clean, pull it out? Right out?
I have no idea.
Like, you would... I feel like you would have to have some sort of... I don't know if I want to say person or object or something holding down on the other end if you're going to seriously yank it out. Your femur is going to be connected to all the other lower parts of the bones in your body, too, through the ligaments. So, like, you can't just... you can't... yank it. Doesn't it. Make sense.
It just literally
sense.
Doesn't yank out of your skin and leave a tube.
But also, why take the femur?
I don't know. All of it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
Anyway.
Keep going.
So, it just seems as though her body had not been ravaged by animals. But that's also kind of weird in itself. Because, like, animals were abundant in the canyon, you know? Like, it was in a defunct marijuana farm. Like, it's not, like, in Arizona in the middle of the Grand Canyon. Like, it's still farmland.
Okay.
So, animals are still thriving in the area.
Yeah.
And you would think if your body was out in the elements, it would show such.
They said that there were no... like, animal?
Seemed as though it had not been.
Okay.
Anyway, a couple months later, a lieutenant was discussing the case, and he said that they had been given permission by a staff member in the coroner's office. But not the lead coroner, so to me, like, bullshit. But anyway, he said that they had been given permission to move the skull.
The skull?
Yes, so wait, ready? So they moved the skull, and he said, and I quote... At that point in time, when deputies moved the skulls, the whole skeleton remains intact, came up with the skull.
Do you
have a comment on that? Because I do.
I do, because what I'm envisioning is, like, and I could be so wrong, but I'm envisioning, like, a meaty leg.
Uh-huh.
And then just a skeleton upper body.
Okay, so hold on. Let me continue this next sentence. He says, so then the captain corroborated and said, quote, when we started removing some of those remains, the entire skeleton came up out of the ground. The skull was still attached to the skeletal remains, which is suspicious because the description with the photos says Mitrice's skull was fully detached from the neck and resting upside down without its mandible on its upper torso, which is the result of gravity, so that's fine. And, like, from nudging or curious animals, you know, any of those, but literally, whatever. So, it's literally impossible for a skeleton to be underground, at the very least, even, like, partially, but the whole thing, because they didn't say partially. They were like, it's underground. We pulled it up. It's attached. Blah, blah. But it's impossible for it to stay intact while you pull the skull off the fucking skeleton.
Yeah, if, okay,
there's
so
nothing there.
Yeah, if you don't have, like, if all the remains have shriveled up, like, you don't have ligaments connecting it to keep it together.
Exactly. You're gonna pick up the skull and it's gonna be a skull.
Yeah.
That's it. You can't pull the body out of the ground if it's a skeleton.
Like, okay, the vertebra maybe, but, like, you have a few vertebra connected to the skull at the top, but not significant enough where there's enough attachments in order to make it stay together.
Yeah, you're pushing it. You know, at that point to claim, like, the whole thing came out at the same time. It's just, like, so fucking suspicious. I can't even.
Yeah, and it's not going to be a clean pull. There's no such thing as working with a body and having a clean. I mean, the femurs, I don't know.
Now, granted, her body was partially mummified, but they say nothing about that. And they did say the skull. I mean, we know the skull was unattached from the body. So you can't have pulled the skull and had the rest of the body come up.
Yeah.
Like, it's impossible.
If it's unattached in the first place.
Correct. Anyway, I digress. So let's discuss this cause of death. Well, first of all, technically was ruled undetermined on the coroner's report. They didn't rule in or out homicide, which I find weird. Like, they didn't further deep dive. The department also denied that it was the result of a crime, and some of them thought that it was possible that she could have died from anaphylactic shock from poison oak or died of a rattlesnake bite.
What?
Yeah. Died of
both things that you can't test shock. Because you just have skeletal remains.
Right. I wonder if that was on purpose, because, like, both of those are so untraceable at this point.
Yeah. Like, where do you even come up with that?
I don't know, because those are both so uncommon. Anaphylactic shock from poison oak.
No.
It sounds like a joke.
I understand rattlesnake a little bit more, because that's something you genuinely could die from.
Yes.
But, like, is there any history that she gets deathly ill from poison oak?
No. So now, here's the other thing. Her body was found naked, which, you know, that's weird.
So no clothes at all?
No, but here's the thing. So what was weirder was that they didn't even recover all of her clothing. They recovered her bra, her jeans, and her belt, but the belt was not in the belt loops. It was separated.
Okay.
Which would, you know, not make any sense. And they were all, like, 500 to 600 feet away from her body, but in the opposite direction of her legs. So these were all down.
So
these were downhill.
An animal probably dragged those away too?
They literally blamed it on animals.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
Why would an animal want a belt when it has a whole human body?
How would an animal take the belt out of the pants?
I don't even possible. Understand the thought process. You could easily blame. See, to me, that says sketchy again, because you could easily blame it on, man, this girl could definitely have some sort of homicide going on. Like, this is clearly a human's doing. But I feel like they probably didn't do that, because then if they did, they would investigate a homicide and put two and two together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then not only did she, like, have her belt literally out of the belt loops, blah, blah, blah. She had her bra off, but it wasn't, like, eaten through. Like, it was off. An animal would not do that.
No, they're not going to take their time. They don't understand how clothing goes on a human.
It literally doesn't make sense.
They're not going to take their time to quickly undo it. So it's, oh, the belt is out of my way now. Yeah. The bra is out of my way now. No, they're going to eat through it and you're going to see it in the clothing.
Yes, there's going to be chew marks. But also, here's the thing. Where are her shoes? Where's her shirts? Multiple, because you remember she had the long sleeve.
No, don't you know? Coyotes.
They eat them.
Yeah, coyotes are skilled in taking shoelaces and moving them across the yard.
Of course they are. Also her socks and her underwear.
Yeah, they're not going to eat through it. They're going to pull it off nicely enough.
You know, animals don't really seem like they were likely in this whole scenario.
No.
And then, I kid you not, the department decided it must have been water.
What?
Water. Like, what? The water.
Wait, what?
Water.
What do you mean? Water.
Yeah, that's
water what Water swished it away?
Yeah, that's what they're claiming.
Water's going to disintegrate the material, maybe, but not take it off.
In 500 years?
What?
It's not possible. Like, how does water take your clothing off? It can't.
No.
It can't.
No.
Like, even if the mountain had a raging fucking storm, it's not taking your clothing off. Nope. I don't know.
I'm bamboozled.
Same.
You did me a bamboozle.
Yeah. You're telling me. So now the other thing with her being, like, mummified or at least partially mummified, which it's hard to explain because it takes really perfect conditions, which usually are kind of dry. Like, I read online, like, one of the perfect conditions for...
And if it's the water, it's not going to mummify it because water is not dry.
It waterlogs, yeah. Weird how that works. But mummifying takes the perfect condition, which tends to be, like a really good condition is clothing on your body in an attic. That's a good mummifying place, they said.
Why?
Per the internet.
Just because it's dry and...
Yes, it's dry and your clothing protects you as it's just like a barrier. So she was naked, which would have led to further decomposition. And exposure to the elements would have led to further decomposition. All of these things point to really not being mummified because, mind you, she's in Malibu. Hot as hell in Malibu.
Yeah, okay.
So it really doesn't make any sense.
Wait, hot as hell? I'm confused.
Malibu's toast.
Yeah, but if you want dry conditions, wouldn't that make sense?
You want dry and dry. You want dry and hot. You want dry and humid. And Malibu was dry and humid.
Okay.
So that's not good.
And if you're near enough water, that's also going to make it more humid than it would be
in
a desert, so.
Right. It's not good.
That's
good. It's not pointing towards the right things. So.
The mummification.
Right.
As if that could be the right thing.
Well, yeah, that's not really ever the right thing, is it? A veteran LAPD detective stated that, quote, on the face of it, she was killed.
Of course she was killed.
Exactly. It sounds like someone abducted her, killed her, and at some point dumped her body. Ding, ding, ding. I think we have a winner.
Yeah, thank you. It's not the animals.
Nope. However, Sheriff Baca, or Baca, however I said it before, he said in a press conference, quote, we have no indication of a homicide at this point. I don't believe that the remains are capable of telling us a story.
Okay.
Yeah.
First off, I have gone to school for not a major in psychology, not anything with criminal justice. I'm not anywhere close to being an officer, close to investigating crimes, and I can see that it is completely another human's doing.
Right. I know. Same.
This is your job.
It's so frustrating and so annoying. So, we have no answers. I know.
Is that where it ends?
No.
Okay.
But it's possible. It's truly possible that, like, the weed farmers found her wandering and, like, killed her. But the site was still defunct, so it's not really, they were, like, out actively growing the weed there. But it's possible they were checking up on it. But it's so hard to say because the possible crime scene was handled so poorly. Literally nothing in this crime scene was tested for the possibilities. They tested no bugs. They tested no soil. They tested none of the hair that was attached to the skeleton or near the skeleton.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. They tested no leaves. They performed no craniotomy to test for possible, like...
brain damage?
Yeah, or skull damage or anything on the inside where you could have seen, like, I think you can see blunt force trauma on the inside of the skull.
I would imagine you could see it on the outside, too.
Perhaps. Maybe there was some... I don't know. Anyway, it wasn't performed. The clothing wasn't tested. Literally nothing was tested. It was just ruled, like... undetermined.
How do you rule it undetermined if you don't even test it?
I don't know. And they never recovered her hyoid bone.
Which, because that's a pretty big thing to indicate if it's, like...
strangulation or something.
Yep.
Yep, they never tested that because they never recovered that from the scene because the fucking coroners did not even take her body off of the property. The LAPD did. No, the LASD did, sorry. The LASD. Anyway... irritating as all fuck.
I am, like, rapidly blinking my eyes because I'm irritated.
Yeah. So, Michael Richardson, which is her father, filed a civil lawsuit against the sheriff's department, which ended up becoming a joint lawsuit with Latisse, because she had also filed one, and then it just became, like, one single lawsuit, and it alleged a violation of Maitrece's civil rights. And that they should have given her a psychiatric exam and had been kept in custody, which, yes. Like, that's... had you performed that, this probably would not be happening because she would have been held.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like, her mother really feels a lot of guilt because she did not rush over there to the apartment because... but she was assured that Maitrece was going to be taken care of. So, like, she should not have had to worry about this.
Yeah.
So it's really not fair. But... she was certain that Maitrece was murdered, and I agree, but...
she was definitely murdered.
100%. Latisse said, quote, "Maitrece is not a hiker. My daughter is a city girl. She did not wander into that canyon. I believe she was suffering from mental illness, and somebody took advantage of that. I believe she was possibly raped and definitely killed and eventually dumped." And, ugh. Yeah. Well, because the other thing I didn't say above, they, like, didn't test her, like, pubic bone area for any, like, semen or anything.
Are you kidding me?
Literally nothing was tested.
That doesn't even make sense.
It was the worst thing I've ever, like, seen. Like, the worst case I've ever. That we've covered thus far is the most undocumented... like, examination.
So, I'm really stuck because I'm thinking, okay, one, I don't know whether to believe if the police department had something to do directly with the murder, because it's like, my thought process goes, how can you have an entire department come together to, like, completely cohesively agree upon this murder and covering it up?
Right.
Like, so I'm like, okay, and what's their motive behind it? Like, you just pick a random person and you decide all together that that's going to happen. Like, to me, right. That doesn't make sense.
It seems, like, unlikely.
Yeah. However, why, like, the then question I have is, why aren't you doing your job? Like, that is what you're here for, is if something goes down, you do the appropriate testings, you formulate the appropriate...
I'm with you.
Yeah, like, you formulate the appropriate, like, conclusions, I mean, to the best of your ability, at least, yeah. And you go through the proper procedures of contacting who you need to contact in the exact order, because that's what you have law for.
Right. So, we'll get into that in a hot second, but let me just finish this up. I just have, like, a just tiny bit more.
Just a
tiny bit. Her body, Maitrece's body, was exhumed in July of 2011, and it was re-examined by the LASD crime
Thank
lab.
Thank God.
Yeah, but it didn't change a damn thing. It was still ruled undetermined, which I find more than infuriating that you exhumed her body and still found nothing, because bullshit.
Are you kidding me? You put her through that much disturbance again, right? And then you can't even do anything
nothing
for the
changed.
Girl?
Nothing changed. But, on a positive note, that lawsuit that her parents had, like, filed separately and then joint together, it ended all right. I suppose. They both settled outside of courts for $900,000 from the LA County, which, by the way, never admitted to any wrongdoing. And technically,
I can name a few.
Yeah. Technically, Mytrice's case is still open, but it's inactive. And, you know, her parents don't feel as though it's very active. I mean, it's not active at all. So her parents really don't feel as though they're giving a shit. And I don't either.
No, not at all. That's pretty really infuriating. The end of that.
But to me, here's my thing. I don't like how the police handled this in any sort of way.
No.
The police have, like, over and over, time and time and again, denied any wrongdoing, denied that they did, like, anything out of protocol. It was all done properly. I don't personally see it being completed in a proper way. I have a very hard time believing that the police department killed a woman and they're covering it up. Because that seems, based on that night, seems unlikely. What it does seem like is something was handled incorrectly.
Yeah.
She died as a result of them letting her go with her psychiatric evaluation not being completed.
And they're trying to cover it up that way?
And that they're trying to cover their ass and saying that they were not wrong in letting her go.
Okay.
But I don't know why they're going to such extent. Because they've done everything so poorly that it makes them look so bad.
It's like, what are you hiding at that point?
Right. And I don't know that they're, I mean, I don't know anything, but I feel as though the department itself is probably not responsible. No one in the department killed her is how I feel. Though I still kind of feel they're responsible for her death. Do you know what I mean?
I get what you're saying. Like, it wasn't them who... It wasn't first degree or second degree murder, but it might have been some sort of act of manslaughter.
Or had they not let her go, she would 100% be alive. Had they done a psych eval, she would be alive. Because she would have been helped.
She would have been in a safe place until her family or somebody could have at least come to her rescue.
Yes. That's how I feel. I don't know. It's all sorts of annoying that this case is the way it is. Nothing about this adds up. Her behavior before does not make sense. However, being found naked and then blaming it on either the animals or the weather makes less sense. Nothing was ever determined. This case is so poorly handled. It makes me so very angry. I don't know. Everything about this is so weird.
I think you nailed that. That is exactly how I feel. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense.
And they're not going to act like she's not missing anymore.
No,
so they're not going to do anything further. This is how this case ends.
The fact that they even pulled up her body again to re-examine and then had the same thought process and conclusion to what they originally had.
That's fascinating and infuriating.
Yeah, like that goes to show they're not going to do that a third time.
Nope.
And if they do it a third time, unless you have somebody else who comes in and then rechecks it, perhaps they're not going
to
give you...
Perhaps if the FBI got involved, but the only way for the FBI to get involved is, one, for them to agree to do it, and two, for the LASD to agree to have the FBI involved, because the FBI can't just, like, insert.
Yeah.
So, because it's not an FBI case, so it's so annoying, and it's not fair, because, like, as her parents said a lot of times in this case, like, on TV and stuff, like, had her name been, like, Lohan or some other famous person, because she was in Calabasas in Malibu. Like, she was, like, in a place surrounded by, like, the rich and famous. Had her name been somebody that they were known, she would have had an escort home. And they're right. They would never, never have said, all right, you're free to go at midnight. Wander as you please.
Yeah.
Have
somebody bring you home or at least contact the family to say, hey, we're about to let her leave.
Yes.
Would you like to come down? Are you guys here? Like, are you guys nearby?
Because her mom says she would come get her, but only if they were going to release her. And she was like,
information.
Yes.
She was going to come as you released her. You released her. You should have contacted the family.
Her mom did not come only because you said she was going to be safe. And then you went against all of that and said, Go be free. Be free.
The worst part about it is the mom said, like, I don't want her to be off running. Ugh, yeah. It breaks my heart.
I don't want to see the, like, title in the morning of, like, girl with her head cut off.
Ugh.
And granted, like, we only have skeletal remains. I can't say that for sure, but, like, she shouldn't have had skeletal remains.
It's a close enough title.
Yep. It's exactly everything she, like, saying I fearful don't want to see. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so bad. And honestly, like, I wish I had something, like, happier to end this case on because, it's pretty sad.
It is sad. And, like, I feel like unless more people got interested in it, they're not going to take it any further than they have.
Nope.
So they're not going to, like, the family's not going to have as, like, very many answers after this unless it's, like, okay. Like, there could be some hope because you've had... Now that we know, 3 podcasts, including ourselves, cover this case. So it is a pretty hot topic. Like,
right.
Keep talking about this case, and maybe it'll bring some light to how important it is for, like, her family and for the public to get answers and for Matrice to be properly respected, honestly. Yeah,
she deserves it. I mean, she literally did nothing wrong. Like, if anything... She's the type of person that this, like, injustice pisses me off because she was not a criminal. She had a mental, like, breakdown. She needed help, and we failed her.
Yeah.
We need to do better.
Yeah.
Anyway, this case is super depressing, and I just want you guys to know, like, keep it in mind. She's important.
Keep it in mind and keep it relevant. Like, I think that's the only thing. Like, you... Potentially, like, yeah, it would take a very long road ahead, but you could get outside involvement.
Yeah.
If you just make this very known that it's important to do so.
Exactly. So we just gotta keep it up.
Keep it up. Keep sharing her name.
Yep. And then, I guess, we'll end on, like, a wine note, because we should be doing that.
Let's end on a wine note.
Yes.
We need to bring light to dark situations.
So, I've had 2 glasses.
She's, okay, halfway through, she wanted a french fry, so she is very well gone. She is full in the bag.
To be fair, this is not my first drink I've had today, so.
We've actually had a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had champagne. You had a margarita.
I had champagne, a margarita, had a beer, had wine now. Damn. It's that kind of day. That was, like, unrelated, I guess. But anyway, it was really good. I drank, you know, a good amount of it. We have a little bit left, but...
It's a good one. Caitlin, thank you again. I think we've said thank you, like, 5
times. Thanks.
But it is delicious. It goes down so smooth. Still, I kind of want to make this into, like, a caramel apple sangria come fall time.
Yes. No, you say I want to, and I say we're going to. So okay. It's happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, all right. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening to us.
Are you taking over my spiel?
I'm not. I'm just rolling us into it.
Oh, okay.
Have at it.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening this week, even though I have given you nothing to the story except for my side comments. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and we are even uploading to YouTube now. Just search Chilled and Killed Podcast. Also, feel free to send us an email with any questions, comments, or requests at chilledandkilledpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, and Twitter.
And Twitter. Yes, we are new to Twitter, and we actually really want you guys to use this Gmail because we need info and input on how this episode went. Do you guys want more like this? Do you guys want more... focused on just an actual script where we're just telling the whole story, let us know.
Please.
We need to know what you guys like so we can keep producing that. Mm-hmm. So we'll be back next time. Until then.
Bye!